Mr. Goad, we're ready when you are, sir.
Good morning, Your Honors.
Good morning.
May it please the Court, my name is Robert Goad, and I represent the appellant, Angelique Shelley. This is an appeal of three convictions of distribution of a Schedule II drug within 1,000 feet of a school zone on property that's open to the public use. The sole issue in this appeal is whether or not this property was property that was open to the public use, as that term is used in the statute. The standard of review is in a light most favorable to the Commonwealth, and the court is not going to reverse the trial court unless the decision was plainly wrong or without evidence to support it.
How would you distinguish the Supreme Court's Fullwood decision? Wouldn't that control our outcome here?
Well, in Fullwood, it was an apartment complex. There was an individual who pulled up and parked and was serving multiple different people. He was kind of out in the street or in the parking lot. Here we have a motel.
But also no trespassing sign.
That's correct.
That seems to be a significant.
And I certainly concede that just because you can be arrested for trespassing doesn't mean that it's a private place. That's not the touchstone. I think the way I would distinguish it is in this case we have, and I guess I jumped ahead of myself. If I could reserve 4 minutes for rebuttal.
Oh, yeah. 4 minutes.
The way I would distinguish it is this is more of a residence. It's a motel, and where this took place was more of a curtilage. It wasn't out in
Who's
a street.
Curtilage?
The tenants of the hotel would be my
Wouldn't
submission.
It be the hotel, not the tenants specifically. It would be a common area at best.
That's correct. But again, this is not a situation where someone is serving multiple customers. There aren't people coming and going readily in multiple open drug transactions taking place. These are two residents of the motel who are there on the motel's property engaging in this transaction. It's not.
But a motel is open to the public, inviting their public invitees that come to the motel. Doesn't that go a long ways to making this open to the public?
It does in the sense that people come and go, but these people are coming and seeking a place to stay, not coming and purchasing wares like in the Smith case. These are people coming and then taking up short-term residences in the hotel.
Counsel, you would agree that the purpose of this statute is to prevent the distribution of illegal narcotics in the areas close to schools. You would agree with that, wouldn't you?
Yes, sir.
That is the primary purpose of the statute.
That's correct.
And so if the government is able to sustain its burden of showing that this place where the distribution was taking place was indeed public, doesn't that satisfy the legislative intent of the statute to discourage individuals from distributing illegal narcotics in an area close to a school?
That's correct. I do think that, and this was my last point of argument because I think it's my weakest, is that I think the court has put in the footnote, and I believe it was Parker, in the unpublished Parker decision, that is not a necessary element, that the intent of the legislature is not a necessary element, but certainly they have looked to it in the past as to whether or not it is a public or open place.
Well, we've had occasion recently to deal with a number of cases where the legislature has used the term public in various contexts, whether it's public highway, public place, open to public use. All these things have nuanced meanings. And they didn't use the term public property, which is what a school is, but they said within 100 feet of a school in a place open to public use. And that term has been interpreted both in Fullwood and Smith and other cases. And I understand where you're trying to go, but it seems to be the distinction you're trying to draw. We're not talking about a picnic table surrounded by a cyclone fence with concertina wire at the top of it. It's open, it's readily accessible, it happens to be on private property, happens to be between a U-Haul storage facility and a motel. I'm not sure if the record's clear as to which of them actually own this particular property where the picnic table is, but nonetheless, it's obviously a place where people, can congregate if they choose to without objection from the property owner, apparently. Why wouldn't that, in the abstract, meet the definition of open to public use?
Well, I think that the real distinction is that if the public is coming to the motel, they're first going to go to the check-in booth to check in, sign any necessary paperwork, and go to their room. These two people were not in the check-in area. The record stated that most of the people were in the center area on the north side of the building, and they were on the south side at a picnic table where very few people were ever seen, and if they were, they were at the picnic table. So this is kind of a place that is set aside or set apart from the front business office of the motel.
Well, I get that, but if in Fullwood no trespassing signs weren't enough to constitute something other than property open for public use, then I fail to see how arguing that you have to be a tenant at the hotel before you can use the picnic table. And when again, I mean, maybe you need to be someone who is a customer of U-Haul before you can use the picnic table, for all we know. The point is, it's there. Mm-hmm. Whether it's a picnic table or just a street corner, you know, that happens to be on private property, if private property is not the test, which clearly it is not under all these cases, where does that leave us?
Well, I think where it leaves us is, I guess, to distinguish Fullwood. Fullwood was out in the parking lot or in the fronts of these apartments. In this case, we're behind or to the side, you know, behind these establishments. If Fullwood had taken place in a common area that was separated by the row of apartment complexes.
How does it make any legal difference?
Well, the whether or not it's blocked or cut off or open to the public use, whether or not someone can go there readily and whether or not they can expect to be challenged in their use of the area once they're there.
Well, if you can walk 100 feet from the front of the school, which apparently you can, and sit down at this picnic table, how is that not open to public use?
I suppose I would fall back on the Commonwealth having the burden of proving that it is open to the public use, and most of the evidence tended to show that there were...
One of the best pieces of evidence that's open to public use is when the public actually uses it.
Mm-hmm. Well, the people that were using it in this case were tenants of the motel, and I would submit that their tenancy transformed them from a member of the public coming to a store to an actual resident at the location, not just a trespasser or someone walking down the sidewalk or someone walking up to the 7-Eleven at that point.
As I read statutes such as this, it's to me analogous almost to situations where you're driving down the road and say the speed limit is 45 and you come into a school zone and it reduces to 25 and it says enhanced penalties for speeding. I know we've all seen those. What is the difference between the legislature or municipality, whomever, providing enhanced consequences for doing things in certain areas?
And I think what the legislature wanted was to keep people who sell drugs from selling drugs in a place where either a school child could be pressured into buying them or even where a school child would have to walk by on the way home.
They don't exposed to it.
They don't want to be anywhere right. near that. But if I had a private home and I was selling drugs in it and nothing was out in the yard or anywhere else, and I was within 1,000 feet of the school zone, then I would not be in violation of the statute because it would be certainly private at that point.
I mean, you might have a very good void for vagueness argument here, but that's not what's been made.
That's correct.
It's a sufficiency argument. So, I mean, you know, it's conceitedly, it's a fairly nebulous term, it seems to me. But in terms of making the distinction, you know, that you're a tenant of the hotel, that would then mean that any tenant of the hotel, even if it was, you know, right next door to the school, you could sell the drugs to the kids as long as you rented a room, sell all the drugs to the kids you wanted to in the parking lot of the hotel, and you wouldn't face any enhanced penalty for it under your theory.
Well, if you were in the parking lot of the hotel, I suppose. I guess maybe...
Or anywhere on the property, as long as just not in the room, you know, but someplace where the school kid can walk up to you and score whatever off you. As long as you're renting a room, you're off the hook for the enhanced penalty.
I suppose the way I think about it is maybe if we go back to the Smith case, let's say there are two employees of the 7-Eleven, and there's a picnic table out the employee entrance in the back that's not open to the public use. Let's say it's closed off and it's not one of the island gas stations. If those two people engage in a drug transaction back there, would that be open to the public use? I would say that it would not, because there is some expectation of privacy of the owner of the business or the employee's only area back there. Just as that example would be, so would be the tenants in the motel and this picnic table in the grass area that's not near the check-in area.
But isn't the question of whether something is a public place or a private place essentially a question of fact?
It is. I believe that's what Fullwood held, was that it's a factual finding, and there's a steep uphill climb to show that it's the trial court was plainly wrong or did not have evidence to support it. And my position is that there was no evidence to support that this property was open to the public use. There were no other people there. These two people were tenants of the motel at the time they were there, and that there's no evidence that this was, in fact, open to anyone from the public to just come up to the picnic table and sit down. These were only two tenants sitting at the table. And there was no evidence that anyone else at the table or in that area were not tenants. So that would be my position on the standard.
Well, in Smith, this court held that, although that was a convenience store, but the criteria it laid down was that it was that the area was open for public use because, in that case, the store, it was located directly across the street, similar situation is here, and there's no indication in the record the location was blocked, closed, or in any way inaccessible to the public, which is also the situation here. So, the only other, ingredient arguably was that Smith Court held that that convenience stores are places that kids go, which I think is pretty obvious. So, so it seems to be the only distinction I can see between this situation and Smith is perhaps the specific finding this picnic table is a place where kids might go, although it's pretty close to the school.
I would say that the difference between this and Smith is that this is not the storefront of the motel. This is a place separate from the storefront. In Smith, I think they were kind of on the curb outside the 7-Eleven. So that would be my distinction between this and the Smith case.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ms. Johnson?
May it please the court, I'm Victoria Johnson for the Commonwealth. This case is governed by the Fullwood case, as was previously argued. Whether property is open to public use is a question of fact. Here, the fact finder had the following evidence before it: the picnic table sat in between the Best Way Inn and a U-Haul dealership, in a grassy area between them. At 54, the officer testified that the confidential informant walked across the street, across Highway 29, over onto the property, over to the picnic table.
Is there any evidence in the record to suggest that children typically congregated at this picnic table?
No, Your Honor, there was not. However, in the unpublished case Parker, this court rejected a similar argument that there was no evidence that children would congregate in the area in Parker, and held that that was not a significant distinction.
Wasn't there some language in Smith that said it was the legislature's intent to prohibit sales where children are known to congregate?
Yes, Your Honor, there was that language in Smith, that the statutory intent was to preclude that evil. However, the evil of illegal drug distribution to school children, which is why the General Assembly has an enhanced penalty for selling within 1,000 feet of a school, which is met in this case. I believe that the school is, I think, within 300 feet.
Yeah, I don't think there's any contest.
There's no contest
that the
school
there. Fits within the description of the bill trying to be addressed by the
sure.
statute.
But I don't believe that whether children actually congregate in the area is an element of the offense. That's not something that Fullwood.
Does the record reflect who owns the property where this picnic table is? I mean, we know it's by the hotel or motel, I should say, I guess, and next to a U-Haul.
No, Your Honor.
Storage location, but I mean, do we know who owns the property?
No, Your Honor. It's in a grassy area between the U-Haul and the hotel. So we don't actually know who owns the property. We know that there is no obstruction, there's no fence or anything like that. We know the officer could sit 45 feet away and observe the drug transactions pretty well. I think he couldn't see the actual hand-to-hand, he testified, but other than that, he could observe everything. But in Fullwood, the court looked to whether it was just generally open to the public, whether people could go to it or through it. That was something else that the court looked at in Parker, was whether the property was something that people could go to or through to go visit people who lived at the housing development at issue in Parker. Here it appears that this is something that people could go to or through to visit people at the hotel.
Obviously here the question is not whether or not the statute is overbroad or not, but there is some suggestion or language in the Fullwood case that the circumstances in Fullwood were that there was an open-air drug market, and there was testimony that there were a whole lot of arrests that occurred at this particular area, that people were coming and going all the time. It seems from at least looking at this record that at a minimum this could be described, or at a maximum this could be described as a single transaction that was observed, and it just so happened to be near a school site. Does that make the case any different?
Well, actually, there were three transactions on three different occasions.
Three transactions, but not an open-air drug market, as was the case in Fullwood.
No, it's not an open-air drug market, but I don't believe that that affects the legal analysis, respectfully, Judge Alston, because the issue, what's at issue in this case, is whether this picnic table was a place, was located in a place open to the public. And that's a pretty narrow issue. And that narrow issue is determined by really kind of the geography of the picnic table itself, whether it's something that it was readily accessible to members of the public. That's the kind of the test that was stated in Fullwood. In Smith and Parker, this court has said that it has to be an area that's not blocked, closed, or in any way inaccessible to the public. And in Smith, the grounds of the public housing complex were open to public use, even though that was limited because of the no trespassing signs to folks who followed the rules of the housing complex. That kind of goes to the defendant's argument that the picnic table was, and we don't really know this because of the record, but that the picnic table was for use of the tenants of the hotel. It was still open to the public, and we don't know. Children from the hotel may have regularly been at the picnic table. It was certainly open and available for their use, and that's the key consideration in this case. Does the court have further questions? Well, then I will ask the court to affirm and rest on the brief. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Johnson. Mr. Goad, your remaining time.
I think first, and to point out, and I'm sure the court's aware, there were three transactions. They were all within a single afternoon. It was the same people involved in each transaction. One of the other, in my mind, there were kind of three things the court has looked at. One, we've talked about whether or not the area is blocked, closed, or inaccessible to the public, and the other is whether or not someone has full access or whether they can expect to be challenged in their use of the property. There's no evidence of anyone expecting to not be challenged because these are both tenants of the property. Rather, I believe there was testimony that there was a no trespassing.
Well, we don't know from the record who owns this picnic table and the property it sits on.
No, we do not.
So, I mean, you're making the assumption that it's part of the property of the hotel. I don't know that we can make that assumption. But let me ask you this. I understand Ms. Johnson's argument on behalf of the Commonwealth to essentially be that based on Fullwood, if the place wherever the drug transaction occurs, and presuming it's within the requisite distance of a school, where if the public can get to it, it's open for public use. If the public can't get to it, it's not. And no trespassing signs aren't enough. You know, maybe you do need the cyclone fence with a concertina wire around it. But in any event, if the public could reasonably get to it, it's open for public use. How do you respond to that?
I don't think that any property that is within 1,000-foot radius or distance from the school is necessarily open to the public use. I think in the three cases, Parker, Fullwood, and Smith, property that's open to the public use is property that you can drive up to and not be challenged in your use of that property.
Well, you would agree if I lived across the street from an elementary school mm-hmm. and sold drugs from my front yard, even though it's my property, that under Fullwood, I'd risk the enhanced penalty, wouldn't I?
Only if you weren't ejecting trespassers as they came onto your property, I suppose.
Well, no, there'd be customers, wouldn't they? I don't want to eject them.
Right. Right, but I suppose that my distinction is that if it's your front yard and someone pulls up on it and you say, no, get out of here, it doesn't matter whether you have a no trespassing sign or not. At that point, it's not open to the public use. It's only open to your drug customers who, you know to go there.
Their invitees.
But if I don't do anything... Right. In the abstract,
if nothing is done and anybody
I haven't in any way secured the property, there's no physical barriers, and I haven't said something to make sure that the public is not wanted. Then all things being equal, it's open for public use under Fullwood, isn't it?
I would say that that's a burden that the Commonwealth has to prove, and there has to be some evidence that it is actually open. Thank you. And I just ask the court to considering arguments on brief.
Very well.
Thank you.
We'll step down and greet counsel, and thereafter the court stands adjourned.